Almighty God of all that is. We claim the immediate release of Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Beit Nun Sofit, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Judas Israel, and the other incarcerated, true believers, and citizens of the nation of Yahweh. Yud Heh Wav Heh, and the dismissal of the indictment and charges that hold them in prison. We claim, affirm, and pray these things in the power and the name of Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Beit Nun Sofit, Yud Heh Wav Heh, for the power, the glory, and the good of Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Selah.
Tet, tet. Shalom Aleichem. Again, welcome to Feast of Passover. Now tonight is Unleavened Bread. Welcome to Feast of Unleavened Bread 1992 at the fabulous Barclay Hotel, Atlanta's most convenient address. I pray that all of you are enjoying yourselves at your hotel. I had a grand time on last evening coming to you as the Messiah of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and letting you know that I am indeed the seed of the woman. And then, of course, I took you to Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and that's where I would like to resume tonight. And while I'm getting ready to read to you Romans 16:20, I want you to understand that the message that I brought you on the first night, Passover, was indeed unique to all of the Passover messages that I have ever brought to you. I feel that after 12 years, you should be familiar with the reality of comparing the dinner, Passover dinner, to our deliverance in Egypt as a past event, remembering, of course, that it was, in fact, a past event. And, of course, the past does impact upon the present. So it is important and always will be important to consider our deliverance from Egypt as a past event, but never forget that it impacts the present. And I'm here to connect the past to the present and now impact the future. Therefore, I brought you a unique foundational message on last night, which will, without question, impact the future. Meaning, we need a new Passover, an overwhelming Passover, unlike any that we've ever had in the past. When we think of the Passover with Moses and our forefathers in Egypt, it was a physical deliverance. And that physical deliverance was most important, but it failed to deliver us from under the power of the mark of the beast. We were not delivered from the power of the mark of the beast. We were delivered physically from under the hand of Pharaoh. And he was still free to pursue us, to seek to destroy us, demonstrating that he still had power under the mark of Wav and the divine protection, which would allow him to continue his rule for the 6,000 years that was promised to him by Yud Heh Wav Heh. However, Pharaoh and his army lost their lives on a physical plane in their efforts to try and destroy Israel, us, our forefathers. They had a powerful army. We had nothing with which to fight them. And on that plane, he could easily have defeated us had we not had divine intervention to protect us from their powerful army. So we had divine intervention again, wherein Yud-Heh-Waw-Heh destroyed Pharaoh and his army. We were delivered to safety on the other side of the Red Sea. We wandered 40 years because we really weren't prepared to enter into Jerusalem, so it required some work to be done. However, we were still under the sting of noon, suffering from necrosis, brain death. So our physical deliverance wasn't really the real deliverance, but a sign. It was but a sign of today at my coming. And here we are in the hells of North America in need of a worse deliverance than we did under Pharaoh in Egypt with Moses. For today, it takes more than just my coming and saying, I come in the name of the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because you as a people have forgotten and are dead to the knowledge that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your father. So I have to come with a message stronger than just Yud-Heh-Waw-Heh is your God. So you're in need of a Passover from the modern day Pharaoh called America. America is not a land, it's a mindset. That's why in Revelations when it says, come out of her, my people, that you receive out of her plagues, in Revelation chapter 18, verses 2 through 6, this is to let you know we're dealing with a mindset. And that was the purpose of my message on last evening, was to set the foundation for you to have a deliverance with a new mindset. And I think I outlined reasonably well how Satan is to be defeated, and that you certainly will not be able to defeat him on a physical plane with carnal weapons, because he spent the last 6,000 years preparing for this day. And mighty countries have been dismantled by Lucifer, Cain, and their descendants on the carnal plane. So I came last night with a message that lets you know how to defeat him, and it's that of peace. Thus I began with Romans chapter 16, verse 20, which says, and Yud-Heh-Waw-Heh, the God of peace, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, notice who is going to do this, and notice the characteristics of the one who is going to do this. It is not you who is going to do this. It is Yud-Heh-Waw-Heh, your God, the God of peace, that is going to defeat Satan and bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, that means not only is he crawling around on the belly in the dust, but you'll be bruising him. And it's not that you set your mind on bruising him. It's just that the fact that he's cursed, and that's his base mentality, and that's as high as he can raise himself, is the dust of the ground. That's where you walk. You have to walk someplace. So if Satan is there on his belly and you're running around, you just will be bruising him. Not that you seek to do so. But remember, this is all an allegory and a metaphor and a simile and a parable anyway. And I'm making it plain to you. So the theme, as I laid out to you last night so beautifully, with my father teaching you and I, that peace is all-powerful. And I made it clear to you last night, there is no need to seek a truce with Satan. Romans 16:20 is not about a truce. It's about a condition of a mindset that shall be under your feet shortly. It's the old man, that old serpentine man that you found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 or so. He's an old serpent. And I'm coming to you with this message from the God of peace, Yahweh. That's what's going to get it done. So with that in mind, let us now go over to Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, O Lord, Yahweh, only maketh me dwell in safety. Now, we as a people are in trouble because America is in trouble. America is being destroyed because of her wickedness. America is being debased because of wicked rulership. America is being reduced from a first-class power to no class whatsoever. She still may have the mightiest military on earth, but it's a corrupt one. Everything about America, the mindset of the leadership, is evil, wicked, and corrupt. They're unable to find peace on the earth. The rulers of this land right now are running all over the country seeking re-election to continue a despotic condition, a tyrannical condition, a dictatorial condition, a corrupt condition, a destructive condition that has been going on through the previous administrations. And it's just an immoral situation that they cannot correct. The present president of this land, his administration, along with his predecessor, and he was vice president for the last 12 years, have been unable to effect true prosperity for the people of this country. They've been able to bring peace in the streets of this country. There are not enough police officers in America to effect that, and even if 50% of the country were police officers, where you had one police officer for every person, They're corrupt. They don't have a mind of justice. They don't have a mindset of peace. So here we are in need of being able to lay down at night in peace and sleep in peace. And you can't do it. So it is saying only Yahweh can cause you to dwell in safety. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 78. I'm giving the Godhead this message. This message is for those of you that love peace. You need to make peace with the brother and sister that loves peace. Luke chapter 1, verse 78 says, through the tender mercy of our God, Yahweh, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. And verse 79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. Now, the only way we're going to have this peace that we are reading about here is from our God, Yahweh. Not the God of the heathen. Not the gods of the heathens. But with our God, Yahweh. He's the only one. No other has brought us peace. We have tried all the other gods, and not any of them have brought peace on the earth. We've tried the other gods, and the people of those gods, the authors of those gods, the creators of those gods, we get no mercy. We get no tenderness. We get no TLC, tender loving care, from any of the gods. And the reason that you are suffering, the reason that the peace loving family of the earth, regardless of race, creed, or color, is suffering, is because you are following after and worshiping the gods of the heathens who are made up by those nations. As I gave you the knowledge on last night and the scriptures, that all nations made gods of their own. So since you have that scripture, I don't need to repeat it. But it's through the tender mercy of our God, Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. I'm that day spring from on high that is visiting you now. And I'm visiting you with a purpose. What's my purpose? To give light to you who have been sitting in darkness. You know you're in the shadow of death here in North America. I'm here to guide our feet to the way of peace. And you must make peace with your true brother. And I taught you last night who your true brother is. It's the one who does the will of Yahweh. I made it very clear, and I don't want to take up your time repeating this aspect of my message on last night. This, I'm sure, will soon become a transcript, and while you're waiting on this to become a transcript, go ahead and get the tape so you can ride around back and forth to work and listen to it. You can go to bed and go to sleep at night and let it play to your conscious and unconscious mind and wake up to it refreshed and play it again in the morning. Get you one of those recyclable, a continuous playing tape recorder so that it just keeps on running for you. Get to the back and call Auto Reverse. Get you one of those high-tech toys. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh and saying, glory to Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a glorious scripture in this context of us needing to be delivered from the old mindset to this mindset of peace. The kingdom of peace. The kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, true holiness and righteousness and peace. This is to come suddenly. And we are sure that a multitude is coming suddenly. It was promised in Ezekiel chapter 37 that there would be a exceeding great army to stand suddenly. I believe that's Ezekiel 37:10. Let's turn to it over here and look at it and see what it says directly. Ezekiel 37:10. So I prophesied as Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh has commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm prophesying to you that this is about to happen, this multitude that we're reading about in Luke 2:13. And it's a heavenly host. Now, as a child, we thought about someone flying through the sky with wings on, individual bodies. That these angels were something separate and apart from ourselves, and they were airborne, defying gravity. We had those ideas, and you who are listening know you did. But tonight you're learning that this heavenly host is a mindset. It's a host of people with a heavenly mindset. And this mindset has only one desire, and that's to praise Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh. As I gave you in Psalms chapter 100 and Psalms chapter 47, almost as a common entree for when I would come out in your presence, that we should always be praising Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, making a joyful noise to the Lord Yahweh, and enter his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. And this is our job. This is our nature. This is what Judah is called to do, lead the world into the praise of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh as the heavenly host with the heavenly mindset full of peace. Oh, it makes me so happy to talk to you about this. Saying, glory. You know, here we are receiving instructions. These are your instructions in verse 14. You are to walk around all the time, not saying praise God, but praise you, hey, Wav, hey, Yahweh, you know, to the world, to the planet. That's your job. The whole planet is going to change because you just continually walk around in the presence of the planet as a heavenly host, praising, saying, glory to Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh, Yahweh, in the highest. And on earth, peace. On earth, shalom, 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 peace. Sheen lamed mem sofi. I'm sure that you will gain a lot of attention when you walk up to someone that loves peace and said, Sheen lamed mem sofi. And they say, what? What did you say? Oh, excuse me, shalom. Oh, excuse me again, peace. Didn't that bring joy to your heart? Glory to you, hey, Wafe, and the highest, who is the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Just think about that. You're going around blessing people with peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Nobody's doing that. This has been in the Bible all the time. Where is that heavenly host, that multitude of angels walking around performing this? See, what can Satan do with this? You tell me. What can Satan do with this action? This requires a special man and woman to want to do this. You're the ones I'm looking for. You're the ones that I've been working to bring to my presence for the last 12 years. This is the reason that I'm in prison, is to draw all men unto me as you lift me up on this cross that I am on. The fact that I'm in this tomb, lift up this knowledge to the world that Yahweh ben Yahweh has been slain on the cross for you and is rising again for you. And the purpose is for glory and honor and praises to you, hey, Wafe. And on earth is peace. He's come to bring peace on the earth. And Yahweh ben Yahweh is here to bring goodwill toward men. All good men. Isn't this a thrill to know? This doesn't cost you money. All you have to do is open your mouth and go for it. John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Yahweh ben Yahweh and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. That means shalom aleichem. Sheen lamed mem sofi. Shalom aleichem. Peace be unto you. That's what you are to do around the planet. Say it to the people. Say it to the men on the earth. I'm a Hebrew Israelite, a citizen of the nation of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, to bring peace on the earth and toward all men. Goodwill toward all men. Goodwill toward all men. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, all you need is a husband that thinks just like this. Then Isaiah 26:3 would be easy for you. You'll be able to keep your mind stayed on you, hey, Yahweh, and enjoy perfect peace with this kind of husband. This is the kind of wife you need. One just like this. Who's spiritually minded. Who is spiritually minded. He'll have life. A peaceful life. Full of peace. Because you'll be walking together as one. Oh, what joy that is to contemplate walking in accord, walking in harmony together as one spirit. Having the spirit of the second Adam with that quickening spirit, free from the grave, free from the sting of noon, can look back together and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? See, carnal-minded, look at that carefully. To be carnally minded is death. I wonder what carnal is. We all know what a mind is, I guess, but sometimes I think we take things for granted. But it says to be carnal-minded is death. Now, carnal means to be earthly, worldly, temporal. If you have a temporal-minded person that you're married to, that's death. They're temporal. It's to be mundane, terrestrial, and secular. Now, secular is a dangerous term. You sure enough need to look up secular. I think we might do that in a few minutes. To be carnal-minded is to be profane. Now think about this next point. To be carnal-minded is to be unspiritual. So if you have the burden of an unspiritual person as your mate or girlfriend, boyfriend, friend, confidant, and you are spiritually minded, see what's happening? You're opposing forces. Totally unequally yoked. Which the scriptures warn us about. Be ye not unequally yoked. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? I mean, this is incredible to know. To be carnal-minded is to be unspiritual. So to be unspiritual is the opposite of what Yehovah has for the defeat of Satan. To be carnal-minded is to be strictly physical. Your whole relationship is strictly physical. Everything about your relationship is strictly on a physical plane. Carnal-minded is to be corporeal, sensual or fleshly, voluptuous or lustful. Think about that. You're just a lustful creature, just lust to lust to lust to lust. Everything about you is lust. Food, clothing, cars, anything material. It's to be unchaste. Unchaste. See, the kingdom of peace is building chaste men and women. Chastity is the virtue sought after and to be lived by, chastity. But a carnal-minded person is unchaste. Isn't that something? Impure and unclean and indecent. Wanton. You know, just a wide open, immoral thing. Wanton. No scruples at all. Just totally unscrupulous. To be carnal is to be animalistic, really. Crude, coarse, and gross. That's death. To be carnally minded is to be lewd and have the hot pants. Bestial mind. Isn't that something? To be carnal-minded is to be secular, And again, secular is to be worldly. And that's what kind of country this is. This America is a secular world. This is a secular world under the God of this world. The prince of this world is a secular God. Let me tell you what. Non-religious don't believe in God, Yahweh, no God, really, not a moral God anyway. This is the God of lust. It's to be materialistic, non-ecclesiastic, non-church. It's to be a person who is to be of the state mentality, a civil mentality. Don't like the Bible at all. A secular person is like a lay preacher, a lay reader, or a church member. So the secular world is just straight out profane. That's why the scripture makes it plain to us to be carnal-minded is death. And perhaps by now you can see that that's what that is. And, of course, under the sting of noon, the 14th Hebrew Aleph Beit, that's exactly what we have been reduced to as a people. How can you possibly defeat Satan, who is the god of secularism, and you are a secular being? How could you ever hope to defeat Satan on any level when he's the god of carnality and all the time you've been carnal-minded? So you're subject to death. You're not only dead, but just totally subject to death. You're already dead. So here you are, dead while you yet live. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Timothy 5 and 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. That goes for you too, brother. This is really a non-gender thing. Don't get happy and say, oh, that's talking about women, as if you are immune. One law for all, so don't get excited about this spoke of a female gender, because are you free from sin? So that could be amended to simply say, he who lives for pleasure is dead already. That's the nature of carnal-mindedness. We're talking about conquering Satan, or Satan being defeated. This is a mindset, as you are beginning to see. And I'm giving you the insight of how to gain control over your mind, that you can become spiritual-minded. It has to be a desire. You can see, you can begin to see and make a judgment of the futility of being carnal-minded. It's just not going to pay the dividends you seek. If you're looking for death, hang on out there with the carnal-minded. And you won't have to worry about death. It's right there with you. And you will never find the peace that your lips say you desire. You never will find it. What's that? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin, breaking the laws of Yahweh, is death. But the gift of Yud-Heh-Waf-Heh is eternal life through Yud-Heh-Waf-Heh Beth-Nun-Sophit, Yud-Heh-Waf-Heh, our Lord. Now let us go to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, joy in the holy words of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh. Look at that. Romans 14:17. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, then you need to get your highlighter and go to work. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh is not meat and drink. It's not carnal. It's not the profane things of life. It's not the partying. See, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 37. It tells you about those who be going for meat and drink and partying. That's what they were doing in the days of Noah. So if you're off into the same game as they were off into in the days of Noah, you better read Matthew 24, 37 through about 40 and find out what your end is. You won't have to try to figure out what your end is going to be. You read that scripture and you'll know right away. We're talking about the kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh now. Can you understand it? The kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, true holiness and righteousness. The kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh is not meat and drink, but true holiness and righteousness and peace and joy in the holy words of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh. This is for the Godhead. This is for the Godhead. That's who you're going to have to go out and make friends with. Because Satan has tricked you into believing nobody's no good. Nobody's any good. Nobody. See, Satan reinforces in your mind on a daily basis that everybody's corrupt. Nobody is pure. Nobody wants to be pure. Nobody can be pure. Nobody has ever been perfect. Nobody is perfect. Nobody ever will be perfect. You can't trust nobody, not even your mama. And if you can't trust your mama, who can you trust? I hear these things. I hear teachers like that in songs, reinforcing Satan's mindset. I see it in movies and on television. They even had it on Star Trek. If you go out in space, you can't trust nobody. I mean, Satan is so wicked that he said if you allow him to go out in space, you won't be able to trust nothing you see out there. Because he's going out there to sow distrust. Think about that. So in building the kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, that's going to take quite a Passover. We got to pass from this mindset over to a new mindset. We got to pass from the old man over to the new man. We have to pass from distrust over to trust. We have to pass from unrighteousness over to righteousness. We have to pass from phony holiness over to true holiness. We have to pass from war and strife over to peace. We have to pass from hatred over to love. We have to pass from darkness over to light. We have to pass from impurity over to purity. We have to pass from lies over to truth. We have to pass from bitter over to sweet. We have to pass from eating butter over to eating honey. so that we can learn to refuse the evil spoken of in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. We have to pass from the terrestrial over to the celestial. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We have to pass from praising man to praising the Creator, Yahweh. We have to pass from the natural man over to the spiritual man. We have to pass from death over into life. We have to pass from eating the tree of good and evil over to eating only from the tree of good. We have to pass from being hungry for righteousness over to being full in righteousness. We have to pass from tears over into joy. We have to pass from corruptible over into the incorruptible. Oh, what a wonderful new state of mind this is that we must pass over. This is the real pass over. See, Moses didn't qualify to pass over or even pass into Jerusalem. He was blessed to go up on the mountain and visualize and see the transfiguration, but he was not allowed to transfigure. He could see the transfigured Messiah, but he was not allowed to enter into that celestial heavenly state of the heavenly hosts. That's why he was on the physical plane denied entering into Jerusalem with the children of Israel. He was chosen by Yahweh to lead the children out of Israel, our forefathers, out of Egypt to the promised land. But he was not able to enter into the promised land because he didn't have the tools that was reserved for the one whose right it is to come and get it done. So the message that you're getting now has never been given before, and no one qualified to give it. And I'm giving you this message from the tomb. Think about it. From the tomb, you're hearing this from the grave. You're hearing this from the grave. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. In verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I think we'll begin there tomorrow night. This has been a real pleasure. It's certainly been beneficial to my spirit. I pray it's beneficial to yours. It's been a thrill and a joy to me. I hope it's been a thrill and a joy to you. Happy Passover. Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. What a day, 1992. Since court is not going to be on tomorrow, I may be able to bring you 15 minutes, 30. I don't know. Depends on what my legal advisor is saying. I know we'll be going into court the next night. So let's see what happens. At any rate, I will speak to you, if but for a few minutes. I love you eternally. Keep up the good work. Shalom Aleichem.